We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled A Lamp to My Feet, Light to My Path, a study through Psalm 119. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Welcome, Lisa Brubaker, everybody.
Well, it's been a long time since I've been up here to teach, so I am excited, I'm honored, and very privileged to be before you friends, because that's right now what I have to think of you all. I know you are anyway, but you know, we read a little bit in this passage about fearing the Lord, and when you're asked to come before people and teach from God's Word, there's a little bit of fear there, and it's not fear of being afraid, it's just fear of not doing Him justice and honor, and you know, not wanting to guide anybody in the wrong direction. So I praise God for His faithfulness and what He showed me this week. Thank you, ladies, first of all, for praying for us this week, for my family. Some of you may know, my mom was taken to emergency. I was there at the house. We had to call 911 on not this past Friday, the Friday before. Anyway, thank you for the prayers. She is doing well. She's on dialysis now and doing much, much better. She still has to eat a little bit more, but it's been a long week, and God is faithful, isn't He? I'm sure we all had a rough week. Enemy is alive and kicking and doesn't like that we're so close to the end. So, praise God. All right, if you turn with me to Psalm 119, we'll be going through verses 33 through 48. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that you would, Lord, that you would just continue to pour out your Spirit, Father, in this room. I thank you, Father, for just who you are, God. I thank you for the time that you did allow me, Father, to get into your Word and study. But Lord, I know it's not about what I studied, Father. It's about what you're going to teach. God, I know that I've got a lot to learn, and I'm just excited to see what's going to come out of my mouth, Lord. I am so very tired and weak right now, Father, but you are strong. And God, I praise you, and I thank Bethany, Lord, for those songs that she chose. Wow, God, you are the King of Kings, and we bow down before you, Lord, and we are looking forward to that day where every knee will bow before you, God. It just is so exciting, and we thank you again for this time in your Word, in Jesus' name. Ladies, as we're singing during worship, how many of you, any of those songs got you so excited that there was a little flutter in your heart, right? There's that desire and that passion for the Lord. And I, over this past year, have had to pray that the Lord would spark that fire again. Because as a mature Christian, sometimes it starts to dwindle a little bit. And it shouldn't. Really. I had a friend who many years ago shared with me when he came to the Lord, and he was really excited and really zealous. You know what it's like being around a new believer, right? His friends had said, oh, it'll pass. And he thought, I don't want it to pass. I don't want that passion to die down. And he's still on fire for the Lord. So it's exciting, and it should not pass, and we should still continue to want to get up in the morning to get in His Word. I remember as a teenager wanting to get up and get my Bible, and that was the first thing I did. And that's sometimes fallen by the wayside over the years. I've had children, you know, a marriage. Life gets busy, but that's okay. God's faithful. So pray that your passion would be stirred up again, like the psalmist here, and let's seek the Lord and just get excited again so we can share. So as we get into the Word today and look for those treasures, I want to remind you last week, Andrea reminded us of how important it is to have time in God's Word and how cleansing it is to have time of confession. Sometimes we forget that part of our morning devotions. And Connie, in the evening, if you haven't heard Connie's message, you can online. I'll get to that in a second. Connie mentioned how we can come boldly before the throne of God and look for God, and that we are to look for God in the trials and to decide what we're going to do while we're in that trial. We have a decision to make when we're in the midst of a trial. And this psalmist chose to praise and to seek. So if you want to hear either one of those teachings, you can go to refugefamily.com, go to the ministries tab, and then click on the women's ministry, and it'll take you to the teachings. Okay, Joy's recorded. All the teachings here at Bible Study are recorded, and you can find them there if you happen to miss one of them. Anyway, as you read this portion of Psalm 119, we see that the psalmist is confident. And he isn't timid or afraid to come boldly before God to ask for instruction and help to live a righteous life. We intercede for so many people. We sometimes forget to pray for ourselves, to ask him for help, to ask him to bless us. There's nothing wrong with that, right? To stand in confidence before him. And that's a place he wants us to be. And we are confident in who we are in Jesus Christ. We have an identity, ladies. And it is not in our past. It is in Jesus Christ now, okay? So hang on to that. You are who you are in Christ. All right, Psalm 33 through 48. Let's go ahead and read it quickly. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my ear to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. So now we've come to the letter Hey. It's an H, H-E, and it's pronounced Hey, like, you know, H-E-Y. All right. So in verses 33 through 36, the psalmist asked God for four things. All right. He asked to be taught. He asked to be given understanding of God's word. He asked to be led on the right path, and that God would help him incline his ear to God's ways. In other words, that the Lord would give him an eagerness for his word and to follow it. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. That's commitment. That is dedication. I want to keep your word, Lord, to the very end. And that one day we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Teach me your decrees, O Lord, I will keep them to the end. I remember when I was a very young Christian, I couldn't get enough of his word, as I had mentioned earlier. And all I wanted to do was read and learn all I possibly could. If you're new in the Lord, you know what that excitement's all about. And if you're mature in the Lord and you've been a follower for a long time, then you know what I'm talking about. Okay, no one in this room doesn't understand that. We should always be uttering this prayer for instruction for right living. You know, your day gets started the minute your feet go on the floor. So pray that the Lord would direct your paths, that you would live a right life that day, that you would be open to his leading, no matter where it takes you. Some days go sideways really quick, right? You hit traffic and you're intended on being somewhere on time, and that's okay. God has a purpose. Maybe you were supposed to pray for those few extra minutes or whatever it took. Anyway, we should always be uttering the prayer. The desire to be taught by the Lord should be fierce. I was really trying to find the right word for that, because it should just be, you just can't get enough. You want to learn everything about him. He wants us to learn all about him. The idea that if only God teaches him, the psalmist says, he will then persevere and keep God's decrees to the end. He didn't want to learn from anybody else. Yes, there are great teachers and we can learn, obviously. But oh, ladies, we have at our disposal the Holy Spirit to teach us. God himself, the author of this book himself, wants to teach you. How exciting is that? I don't know. I know a couple of authors, actually, and that's great. But God, the author of the Bible, our guide to living life. G. Campbell Morgan writes, "The general desire expressed in this stanza is for God's guidance. It is not for an appeal for direction in some special case or difficulty," okay? It's not, "Oh Lord, I'm in trouble, guide me." this is just general. Lord, just guide me every day in whatever situation or whatever decision I need to make. Even the smallest decisions God cares about, ladies, because it'll impact something somewhere. But rather, it is an appeal for the clear manifestation of the meaning of the will of God. Okay, we're looking for direction because we want to know His will. There's no better place to be than in the will of God. If you're in a place right now and you're just not sure that you're in God's will, continue seeking. Have that desire to be in His will, and He will direct you there. He will get you there, I promise you. John 14:26, we know that we don't have to do all this learning on our own because the Holy Spirit will teach us and bring to our remembrance all we need to know. You're memorizing scriptures, ladies. It's tough. I'm struggling with it. But you know what? When the time comes and you need that scripture, that verse, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. Lately, I've been saying, Lord, what have I learned in the past? What verses? Bring to my remembrance the verses I memorized years ago because it's so sweet. Verse 34, give me understanding and I will keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. We see three things in this one short verse, and I think are really important to every Christian. Number one, to ask; two, to obey; and three, to practice it. The word is very practical, okay? It's just not a bunch of reading, a bunch of words. It's very practical. The psalmist is bold, and he asks God to give him understanding of His commandments. If you want to comprehend a subject, what do? You study, right? Okay. Well, when it comes to understanding God's word, we not only study, but we can ask the Lord Himself to give us understanding. How cool is that? That is just so cool to me. The creator of the earth wants to teach you. He wants to take that personal one-on-one time with you. He waits for you in your living room or your kitchen table or wherever it is you're doing your study. Any of you ever imagine or visualize the Lord sitting where you're going to study? He's there, ladies. He's ready to meet you. Our understanding of God's command should be pursued with diligence. And why did the psalmist have such a desire to understand? Because he wanted to obey God's instructions. And even more importantly, he wanted to put them into practice with all his heart. He wasn't like I tend to be. Focused on something, all of a sudden, if Jim comes in and asks me a question or I get distracted by something, you know, it's a squirrel, I'm off. I have to come right back. And he wants us to study his word with all our hearts. So find that quiet place where you don't have the distractions. Find that time of day. Sometimes the mornings don't work. And you know what? God knows. That's okay. But we get so busy. We aren't making time. You're not going to find the time, ladies. I'm sorry, you're just not going to find it. You have to make it, right? Appointments, we put our appointments down in our calendars. We have to make time for the Lord. I hope that this study is teaching you how to ask for His guidance and understanding His word. In Luke 11, verse 9, if you want to turn there, you can. Luke 11, 9, Jesus said, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for according to His will. Keep on seeking, and you will find. You will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Don't give up, ladies. Be diligent in your studies. In verses 33 and 34, we see the commitment of the psalmist to keep and observe God's commands. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. The New Living Translation says, make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Only in the Lord can we find joy and happiness. Two different things, really. Happiness sometimes depends on the circumstances. Joy is just there from the Lord. But the psalmist found happiness in God's word. I see two things going on here. The Hebrew word make, in this context, means to tread or to bend. Okay, so it's like bending, like an archer who bends a bow for his arrow, right? When I read this, my thoughts went to the skilled archer who bends and aims his bow so it hits the intended mark. I want to place myself in God's hands. I want to be obedient to his command so that when he directs me to an intended mark, I'll go in that direction. If I let too many other things in my life, I get kind of crooked. And when he tries to aim me in a certain way, I may veer off. I want to be a straight arrow. I want to be righteous. I ask the Lord to help make me righteous. It's sanctification. I think Pastor Jeff talked about that. The other image I had and I thought of was going on a hike, which I don't do, but I know some of you do, like Suzanne. She's like hardcore, crazy, climbing Half Dome. The other, and that God is your compass, right? God's the compass of your life, and he points true north. So I can trust that he's always going to be pointing me in the right direction so that I can walk with him. Now, whether or not I pay attention and walk in that direction, okay, but you've got the compass. The Lord is your compass, true north. I can be confident in that. I have to trust that compass to get me to my destination. And I have to take action to move forward, ladies. Walking is an action word. It's movement. We're not just standing there waiting for him to push us along or he doesn't do that. We have to take action to move forward. The psalmist asked God to not only help him understand his ways, but to empower him. Okay, that's a really important thing to remember, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us as Christians. Are we calling on it? Are we asking God to empower us to do what he's called us to do? Because he will. He calls those who are willing. Not always those that are able to. He enables you to do what he's called you to do. So he empowers you. And bend his heart towards the things of God. He's asked God to bend my heart towards you, Lord. Don't let it lean towards other things. I want it to lean towards you and your ways. Even though the psalmist delights and has a desire for God's word, he knows he cannot walk in God's path without God's empowering. Okay, we can't do it in ourselves. We are weak and we're just human. And God, how many of you can testify that God has done some really amazing things through you and you stand there and just go, wow, he really did that through me. He used me for that. To bring someone to the Lord, to love on somebody who just needed a hug or a kind word. He used you for those things. To the one who delights to keep God's law, God will give more grace to keep it. Delight in keeping his law, and he will give you more grace to keep it. Verse 36, incline my heart to your testimony. 36 and 37, actually. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. This is one of the verses that I had my children memorize when they were little. And of course, I had to memorize it too because I was teaching them. And it was before they were in junior high. So I was really praying that their eyes really would be turned, that they would make the choice to turn their eyes away from worthless things in this world. Incline or bend my heart, O Lord, to your ways and not the ways of the world. Pray that the Lord gives you that eagerness and that desire, a fire to turn your heart towards his laws and away from the things of this world. What are your distractions? I don't know. I know what my distractions are, and I know what I have to do to get the distraction away from me in order that I can keep turning my eyes from worthless things. The word turn is interesting. In one sense, it does mean to literally turn from, but it also means to pass over or to alienate, to do away with or take away. So again, what is it you need to take away? What distraction do you need to take away so that your heart is inclined and bent towards the Lord? Maybe there's something in your life that you need to physically remove. I have a TV in my home office, and I think that thing needs to go. I'm just trying to find a spot for it. It can be a distraction. I need that quiet time when I'm studying or anything in there. Ladies, we can ask the Lord to empower us, to help us turn away or do away with the things that are taking our heart's attention away from loving him with all our hearts. And those things can make us weak in our walk, and maybe feeble when we should be strong. Going through this trial with mom and watching over dad. Mom's 82, dad's 85. And they're strong, but we see changes, of course. And I see how frail mom is now. And that just comes with age. But in my spiritual walk as a Christian, we shouldn't be weak and feeble, no matter how old you are. We should still be strong and full of life and vigor to do God's will. Turn my eyes away, Lord, from these things. And the end of verse 37 says, give me life. How? Through your word. Pastor David Guzik, I just love his commentaries. You can find him on Blue Letter Bible if you use that as one of your tools. He says, a heart inclined towards God's word will help you be satisfied in what God provides. A heart inclined towards God's word will help you be satisfied with what God provides. His word is satisfying. So when we have all these other things going on, it doesn't matter. God said. He loves us so much, ladies. Verse 38 and 39, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. This isn't a prayer for God to change his word in some way. Indeed, the word of the Lord is established forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. It stands forever. Verse 38 is a prayer for a change in the heart and mind of the servant of God so that the word of the Lord would be established. It would be sure. It would be. I had to look up that word established. What does that mean? It means confirmed. It is set in stone. Okay, the servant of God being the one who is devoted to fearing God. Warren Wiersbe writes, for the fear of the Lord is the fear that conquers every fear. Do you have fears in your life? Fear the Lord even more, and those fears won't even matter. The fear of the Lord conquers every fear. The fear of man is the fear that leads to bondage and defeat. Are you a people pleaser? I tend to be. It shouldn't matter. Am I pleasing the Lord? What's more important? Fearing man just leads, again, to bondage and defeat. Proverbs 29:25, you can look that up. The psalmist was not afraid of his enemies. He was afraid of disgracing the Lord and bringing dishonor to his name. That's a healthy fear. It's like when you were little girls, I know for me, she disciplined. She was a stay-home mom, so she was the disciplinarian. But if we did something and she said, oh, wait till your father gets home. It was that disappointment. And daddy never spanked us. He didn't have to. He had four daughters to raise. He didn't spank us. He just needed to have that look of disapproval and it just broke us down. Oh my goodness. That was the worst feeling in the world. The psalmist claimed the promises of God and trusted God to deal with his enemies. For we live on promises, not explanations, ladies. God said it, believe it. All right? Our faith is tested by the promises of God, and our faithfulness is tested by the precepts of God, and both are important. So this fear is a reverent fear, the fear of disappointing God. As a follower of Jesus, we don't fear the judgment of God because we're forgiven, right? When you said yes to Jesus, your sins were washed away, past, present, and future. We don't have to fear his judgment. Remember what Pastor Jeff taught us 2 weeks ago? If you were here, if not, you can catch that message online, all three parts. Wow. Great teaching. I really enjoyed it. We fight against sin in practical ways, he said. But positionally, we no longer stand before the Lord as sinners. We can call ourselves saints. How many of you went, huh? I don't think so. Yes, we can call ourselves saints. Because why? Because of what Jesus did for us and to us, we can call ourselves saints because of the cross. Amen? All right, ladies. Verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Do we hunger for God's precepts? Do we hunger for his word? Do we wake up in the morning with an excitement to get into God's word? Whatever that feeling was when you were worshiping and you felt that flutter in your heart, that excitement, let's continue to pray that we have that every morning. that our first thought would be, oh God, what have you got for me today? What's in your word for me today? I know I'm going to find a nugget in there, Lord. Go with that anticipation, and you're going to find it. Keep a notebook by your bedside, okay? You know your Bible study is separate than your devotion time, right? Joy's taught us that. Keep a notebook with your Bible. And as you're reading, look for those treasures. Look for the nuggets that the Lord has got for you for that day. Get into God's word. See what he wants to show you and sit quietly and listen. This is what I'm not very good at. I do the reading. I take the notes. And then I'm off on whatever I'm supposed to do. I need to take time to just sit and listen. Maybe that's how I should start my devotion time, just to see what direction he wants me to just sit and listen for his voice, you know, stirring up something maybe from yesterday or whatever it is. Again, the psalmist prays for revival in his heart. He sounds pretty excited and energetic to me, right? But yet he prays for the, maybe that's why he is excited and rejuvenated, because he's constantly asking for revival in his heart. Have you asked for revival in your heart? We think about revivals that are, you know, filling stadiums and churches. No, ladies, there's a revival in your own heart, and there should be. So ask for God to really bring that up and put a revival in your heart. That longing comes from a heart that is seeking God and loving his word. Make me alive in your righteousness, Lord. Make me alive. Don't let me be just someone sitting on the benches, on the sidelines. Make me alive. That, again, infers movement and motion. All right, verse, and the next letter looks like wa. It's actually pronounced vo or vav. We talked about four things already: to learn, to be taught by God, to receive, to be given understanding, to walk, and that his heart would bend towards God's ways. In other words, that the Lord would give him an eagerness for his word. Now we come to a stanza that shows us what we are to do with all that learning and understanding that you just got. All right, here comes the practical part. Let your mercies come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word, so I shall have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Before we can tell someone how good a restaurant is, right, I can sit here and tell you, oh yeah, that restaurant over there is great. Well, I've never been there. How can I tell you it's great if I've never been there? Ladies, when we get into God's word, we're experiencing him. We're experiencing what he has done in our lives. We can look at our testimonies. How many of you have your testimony memorized? Seriously, how many of you have your testimony memorized? Ladies, do it. There's many different ways to do your testimony. There could be a testimony of when you came to the Lord, a testimony of what happened last week. But share it. Don't just keep that to yourselves. Write it to somebody. I don't know. Share it on Facebook. We want to hear and glorify the Lord when we hear those testimonies. Okay, so let your mercies come to me, O Lord. Can't speak with authority if we don't experience it. Get into the word, know the word, and that gives you the confidence that, yeah, I've read this, I've studied this, and this is true. If we haven't experienced it for ourselves, we can't share it with others. The experience of God's love in our lives is not a one-time occurrence, is it? It's continual. He loves us continually and unconditionally. Think about your day yesterday. Just quickly, think about your day yesterday, or even this morning, because a lot can happen in the morning. I bet you can think of a moment where the Lord was loving on you. He sent someone your way. There was a word of encouragement. You saw a beautiful flower that blessed you. Okay? He is around us every moment. I tell you what, when this whole thing happened with Mom, what happened was on Friday morning, my sister sent me a text. I woke up at 3:15 in the morning. I don't know why. Went back to bed, and when I did wake up, I thought of my mom and wondered, I hope she doesn't fall. She's been falling lately. I don't know why I thought that. At 7 o'clock, I was at 6:30. At 7 o'clock, my sister sent me a text and said, could you go check on Mom and Dad? She had to go to work. Could you go check on Mom and Dad? Mom fell at 3:30 in the morning. She had to go to the restroom, I guess. Okay, you tell me God wasn't in that. From that very moment, God was already in the day, okay? Mom didn't break anything. She's fine from the fall. But when I saw her, honestly, ladies, it scared me. We already knew she was going into kidney, you know, failure. But she looked bad. And I called her nephrologist, and I told him what was going on, what symptoms she had had for the past week. And he said, get her to the ER now. Well, she was so weak, and Dad's 85, and I couldn't pick her up. He said, call 911. So we called 911, paramedics came, checked her. Her blood pressure was 80 over 40. That's dangerous. We managed to get her in a wheelchair. She was answering all the questions the paramedics had. She's so sweet and frail and little, and she's just looking up at them. It was so cute. And they'd ask her questions in English and Spanish, and she answered. She has a hard time hearing, but she answered. So again, God's hand was in that whole falling incident. She didn't break anything. He needed me there to get her to the hospital because her blood pressure was so low. And every step along that whole week, we saw God's hand. Her nephrologist, I've never met a doctor like this. He is amazing. He text messages me every morning. How's Mom? How's Lucia doing? If I have a question, I send him a text. He's on it. He's amazing. I am so thankful for him. And for all the, I know it's the prayers. But again, look for those times that God's hand is in that situation. Okay? He is faithful. Verse 43, and take not the word, your word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Utterly. That's one of those words you can't, doesn't roll off my tongue. Don't let me forget your word. Let me always be speaking your word to myself and to those around me, Lord. Speak God's word to your heart and also to those around you. The word of God is vital to our walk with him. But, or by it, we learn the history of creation, mankind. We learn about God's character. We learn about his righteousness, his supremacy, his faithfulness. But most importantly, ladies, what we learn from God's word is his plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, God had a plan. And it was that blood would have to be spilled to redeem us of our sins. God's word, from Genesis to Revelation, the story of redemption. After Moses died, God told Joshua, the new leader of the Israelites, he said, Joshua, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Joshua was a leader. We're all leaders to some degree. We have a sphere of influence, right? Whether it's your children or if you're a school teacher or whatever. We have a sphere of influence. You're a leader to some degree. So meditate on God's word day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then, God told Joshua, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. In all God has called us to do, we will succeed and prosper if we stay in his word and obey. The obeying's not easy sometimes, is it? Oh, but God's faithful. When we are obedient, he blesses, and oh, you're scared to take that step of faith. Obey him. He's got good plans for us, ladies. That passage I just read was Joshua 1:8. Read that first chapter of Joshua. Read Joshua. It's just an amazing book. I love it. All right. For I hoped in your ordinances. That's the last part of verse 33. For I hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. Whoever the author of Psalm 119 was, I personally think it was David, and so does Joy. He did not look to his government for truth. Smart man, did not look to man for truth or his government. He knew that God's regulations were the only hope he had. Ladies, elections are coming up. Our hope is in Jesus, only Jesus. And we have to stay focused on him. Yes, we have to be knowledgeable and ready for the elections. Please, ladies, don't sit here and say, oh, I'm not going to vote. It's a waste of time. Please, it is a privilege and an honor in this country to vote. So please, 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 that's my plug for for voting. Please do so, but go in with eyes wide open, go in armed with what God says, right? We're not going to depend on the government for truth. We can't. They're men and women. We need to depend on the Lord. He knew, the psalmist knew, that God's regulations were the only hope he had. He reiterates again and again as you go through the Psalms that he will keep on obeying God's laws. Keep on. It's a process, right? I'm not going to give up. One day you may stumble a little bit, but you're going to get up and you're going to keep on keeping on, right? All right. Keeping God's instructions forever and ever. Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. All the songs were just wonderful. Set free. We are set free in Jesus. Proverbs 4, verses 10 through 12 says, my child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. A promise from the Lord. We could tell our children that. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. In that context, yes, we're going to fall, we're going to stumble. But the meaning there is that you may stumble, but you're going to get right back up. You're going to keep going. You're not going to stumble and stay there, okay? So you won't stumble forever. And in John 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful in my teachings. And you will know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. Amen. So Jesus himself encourages us to walk in his ways and be faithful to them. Verse 46, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I immediately thought of Billy Graham when I read this. He has been such a faithful servant of the Lord all these many years. He's, what, 94 now, I think? And he's still putting out those videos, sharing the gospel. And he's a passionate man. And his daughter, Anne Graham, is just as passionate, and so is Franklin. Anyway, I thought of Billy when I read this verse. He has been faithful and bold in his calling to proclaim the gospel around the world, and even to kings and presidents. I heard recently, and I didn't check it, but I heard recently he was so well known at the White House with previous presidents, he pretty much had a free pass to go on in when he wanted. Wow, that is the authority and the anointing of the Lord. Billy knew it wasn't him. That was totally God that opened those doors. He was called to bring testimonies before the kings and presidents, and he's been around the world, so I'm sure he has spoken to, you know, many kings. All right. I doubt that I will ever be before an earthly king. I doubt it. I've met a few senators, congressmen, things like that when I was in Washington, D.C. visiting, but I didn't have an opportunity to share the testimonies of God. But I do meet people. Sometimes we meet people of influence. Sometimes we don't. Does it matter? No. We have a sphere of influence, as I said before. Let's be bold when we share, when we have the opportunity to share. Take that opportunity. It's scary to put yourself out there. And if the Lord kind of puts on your heart to share your testimony with them or tell them about God, and you're just like, oh, I don't want to do that. God will raise up somebody else, but don't you want that privilege? Don't you want that privilege to share the gospel when God's called you to do it? Sometimes we get in our own way, and we let fear settle in our hearts. Let's be bold and see what God does with it. They may turn away, but you know what? That may come to their memory later on. You had a hand in harvesting, or in planting, rather, and someone else may do the harvesting. Or maybe you're called to do the harvesting and you've missed out because you didn't heed that call. You didn't obey. So I'm speaking to myself. Let's be a little braver when it comes to sharing the testimonies of God with kings and others around us. Verse 47 and 48, and I will delight myself in your commands, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. He reiterates, I love. I love your law, Lord. I love your commands. Do you delight in God's word? Do you love it? The word love in this verse, ahav, is pronounced in the original language. One of the meanings is to have a human appetite for objects such as food, drink, sleep, or wisdom. Do you have a love for wisdom? We know we only get wisdom from God's word, from God, right? Do you have a love for that? I pray for myself and for you that your appetite for God's word and his wisdom grows so much that your heart will be so excited that just thinking about spending time with him and reading his word and listening to his voice just thrills your heart. That's my prayer for each one of us, that we would return to our first love, that our hearts would flutter like they do, you know, if you have a spouse or a boyfriend and you get that those butterflies in your tummy. I pray we get that same feeling for the Lord, that nothing would replace that. No one would replace those feelings of love and passion. Father God, I pray for these ladies, Lord. I pray, Lord, for each one of us. God, that you, when we say your name, Jesus, oh God, that it would just be so sweet to our mouths, Father, like honey. Jesus, that we would just look forward to walking with you, to sitting with you, to just thinking about you, Lord. That the thought of you would bring a smile to our faces, Father. Lord, you are good. You are always good. I thank you for your word, Father. I pray that these ladies would have a blessed time in their small groups, Lord, that they would learn from one another, Father, that, Lord, you would grant wisdom and discernment to the facilitators, Lord. They're such special ladies, and I thank you, Lord, for placing them in our lives. So, God, as we get into your word, we just ask that you go before us, Lord, that your spirit would continue to be here to minister to hearts, Father, that you would heal, Lord, hearts that are broken and sick, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.